This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Four dead, dozens arrested, the president's social media accounts frozen after a violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol involving a pro-Trump mob forcing members of Congress into lockdown. When the situation was calmed, the House and Senate reconvened to execute the inevitable, a full counting of the electoral votes confirming the election of President-elect Joe Biden. We will take your phone calls at 513-419-7100 and emails to talk at WVXU.org just ahead. But first, I spoke earlier this morning with Democratic Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan about what he saw. Congressman Ryan, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of what the feeling was like as a congressman inside that building when those first warnings started to go off that something very serious was going down?
Yeah, it was startling. I mean, to get it was a buildup. It was a text, you know, from the Capitol Police that said there was an external breach. And then a little bit later, it was an internal breach in the Capitol. And at that point, there were cameras that were showing, you know, what was going on and pictures coming out. And it was, you know, it was startling to get a text from the Capitol Police that says, you know, lock your door. But be quiet and stay away from the windows. You know, that's not normal procedure here. So it was startling for all of us.
So is that what you did? I mean, was the office locked down and everyone was in there quiet?
Well, yeah, my staff wasn't here. There was no staff, you know, for most of us on campus because we knew that there was going to be some issue. And it was just, you know, me in my room, and there were some members on the House floor, and, you know, we were all on lockdown. You know, it was just pretty straightforward, but it was surreal to be, watching TV and seeing, you know, the place we go to work every day under siege.
Well, talking about that siege, what does it tell you about the state of things right now?
Well, I mean, it's obvious this country's hurting. You know, we're not in a good place right now as a country. You know, I think that the president's behavior, it incited a lot of this going, you know, over the 4 years, but more precisely since, you know, I think it was in early December, he was saying January 6th is going to be a heck of a day. It's going to be wild. You know, whipped everybody into a frenzy yesterday. And they came down here and stormed the Capitol. And, you know, we've got 50 to 60 Capitol Police that have injuries. You know, 15 of them are in the hospital. So this was a violent group of people who stormed the Capitol. And, you know, it's just a sign of the times. And then the cynicism, the thing that really just frost my rear end, if I could say, is Senator Hawley and Senator Cruz and Senator Sass and these guys and Jim Jordan who are just so cynical. They are perpetuating a fraud that the president is perpetuating to soothe his own ego because he lost this race, which is one thing. But to have members of the United States Senate, sophisticated, intelligent, Ivy League lawyers buy into this garbage is appalling. I don't care how many Ivy League degrees you got. You don't use that education and weaponize that education to manipulate the American people on your behalf or your own political purposes because you want to run for president. So it's sickening what the president has done, but it's also equally as sickening that he gets coddled And these other, you know, smart people, so to speak, try to take advantage of his popularity among the Republican primary voters so they can advance their own career at anybody's expense, including the democracy and the rioting that was happening yesterday. It just makes me sick.
We're talking to Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan, a Democrat. You said last night that our democracy is at stake, as you just said. Right now, you think the president needs to be removed. He's got just a couple of weeks left, but can you share a little bit about your feelings on that?
I think he's dangerous. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. He is a dangerous person because of the amount of power that he holds. And, you know, insecure people that we know in our lives that they can cause trouble. But an insecure person that holds a lot of power can cause a great deal of harm. We saw that yesterday. He whipped this crowd into a frenzy, sent them down to the Capitol, said he was going to be there. You got to be strong. You can't take back your country if you're weak. Pumped them up, gave them a pep talk, and sent them out. And I just worry that the next 2 weeks before the inauguration, he's going to be more hostile, fretting even more that he's lost. And I don't think we can trust what he will do. And, I don't agree with Vice President Pence on much, but I have confidence that he would be able to administer a peaceful transition of power in the United States. And geez, oh, Pete's, I mean, if that's the bare minimum at this point we're looking for, it's sad, but it is true. And I think he should be removed immediately, put Pence in, and let's have a peaceful transition where at least Donald Trump, he will cause trouble, but at least he won't hold the power that the American people gave him any longer.
Congressman, talk to us about the performance of the Capitol Police. I know that you had some questions about the way the whole situation was handled, and certainly a lot of Americans watching also had some questions, especially in the context of last summer's civil rights protests that were taking place and the way police had responded to those events.
Yeah, two or three points. One, first and foremost, if this crowd was black, if this was a crowd of immigrants, I think that it would have been handled much differently. I think the police probably would have been much more aggressive. So let's talk about the 800-pound elephant in the middle of the room here. I think everybody's in agreement. And when it was Black Lives Matter Plaza and all the rest, it was a much more aggressive police action. I also want to separate the work of the police. In those men and women on the front lines, they did everything they could to try to prevent this from happening. The criticism that I have is with the preparation from the leadership, from the top. How are we not prepared to, how would we not be aware that this could potentially happen, given what the president has said going back to early December about January 6th is going to be wild, and then whipping everybody up into a frenzy. And for us not to have thousands of National Guard available, ready to protect and keep people out of the Capitol is beyond me. And I'm going to do everything I can to get to the bottom of this. And people, I want to make sure that everybody in Ohio and across the country knows that people will be held accountable to this. This is unacceptable. And I'm just livid about the whole thing. And we're going to make sure that this never happens again, and that this process, this democracy, will be protected. This is America's home. This is America's church. This here at the Capitol, and I'm extremely disappointed in the leadership. Again, commending the men and women on the front lines. I think they did the best they could in very hostile circumstances, but the leadership has created an epic fail here.
Congressman Ryan, you referenced some of the enablers of the president's claims about a fraudulent election, disproven, unsupported claims about the fraudulent election that he claims was stolen from him, that many now cite as inciting what we saw at the Capitol. But in your chamber of the Congress, we saw one of your colleagues, Florida Republican Matt Gaetz, suggest that this mob was Antifa. Are you starting to see that narrative emerge among your Republican colleagues?
That was the first I heard of it, and I wanted to vomit for him to continue again to defend the indefensible, for him to go on the House floor and somehow try to deflect this issue like it was just a normal political debate that we were having. They were saying things like, well, no, guns, people weren't firing guns at each other. Well, first and foremost, that's not true. Somebody did die, and there were four deaths because of this. And I'm sure your listeners feel this way too. It is maddening at the lengths that some of these Republicans will go to defend Donald Trump and defend the indefensible. And unfortunately, that Congressman Gaetz is one of those people who has absolutely no shame at all as to what they will say to try to win a political argument, regardless of the truth of the matter. And to start saying that a crowd filled with Trump flags and signs who were at a Trump rally just minutes before and hitting cops with lead pipes and sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office and writing nasty letters and nasty comments to her. Somehow that's a, you know, somehow a Democratic issue. It's just beyond me. And the truth is coming out. It's apparent to everybody. But I think these guys, I think Gates and Hawley and Ben Sasse and all these, you know, super people who are so much smarter than everybody else that try to manipulate the American people, I don't think they have any clue what, you know, what the American people need. They're in it for their own self-aggrandizement, their own self-interest, and their own political futures. And the American people are starting to see that. And we're going to make sure they continue to see that. And I will tell you, too, since we're having this conversation and I'm a little fired up and have very little sleep, I'm not impressed with some of these other Republicans that all of a sudden are trying to be statesmen, the Ben Sasses of the world who were very quiet when Trump was mad at him and was talking about primarying him in his Senate seat. Ben Sasse kissed the president's rear end. And quieted him down, got through his own reelection, and now he wants to rise above and be a statesman. You know, and many other politicians in Ohio, Republican politicians who were in the witness protection program for the last 4 years, didn't say squat as this continued to boil over, and now they're going to be statesmen. I'm not impressed at all, and I just feel like the lack of courage in the Republican Party is something that will follow these politicians around for a long time.
We're talking with Ohio Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan. Congressman, I know you appeared on MSNBC with Brian Williams last night after all of this was going down. And I saw that anchor reference this idea that there will be Republicans a year or so from now say something along the lines of Donald Trump, never heard of him, never met him or anything like that. Yeah. Do you expect there to be any lingering political consequences for your colleagues on the other side of the aisle for the way the country has, where the country has found itself?
Well, you know, a lot of us are going to make sure that the people of Ohio and the people of the country don't forget where you were at this time of crisis in our country. You know, the old Dante quote that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those people who in times of great crisis preserve their neutrality. And I think that there are a lot of Republican politicians who went into the witness protection program, who bit their tongues, who looked the other way. And the American people are going to remember that. And there's also going to be this group that is trying to manipulate the electorate, manipulate people to make it seem like they're on their side. And they're not. And you know, Democrats have to do a better job of communicating to those people and addressing their real needs around the economic and health care and the challenges that most Americans face. We need to make sure that the American people know that we're there for them and we've got ideas and are ready to take action on their behalf and be candid with them. You know, I think this is really calling for some truthfulness and candor on behalf of the government and behalf of the American people. They deserve that. And those people who are going to try to sweep this under the rug, I'm going to tell you, I, for one, am going to make it very, very difficult for them to do that. They're going to get called out at every corner because we needed them and they weren't here for us. You know, they looked the other way and it ended in a siege of the Capitol. That's how this story ends. And hopefully it won't get any worse in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, we've got to begin to move on. You know, there's always time for redemption. I hope people can apologize and at least admit that they lacked the courage that the people of this country needed them to have. They lacked it when the time most required it. And forever, that will forever, I think, stain them. And then the others who you know, participated in this ruse and weaponized their Ivy League education to try to, you know, twist the facts and continue to perpetuate the lies of the president need to be held accountable as well.
Congressman Tim Ryan, Democrat of Ohio, thank you for the time you gave us today. I know it's been a crazy couple of days there in Washington. We do appreciate the time and hope we can talk again.
Yeah, happy to talk and keep up the good work. You provide a great service, so we appreciate being on with you.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Again, that was my conversation with Congressman Tim Ryan, the Democrat from Ohio, recorded earlier this morning. Joining us live now for more reaction and analysis is University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, Dr. David Niven. David, welcome back to our show.
A pleasure to be with you, Michael.
Same here. Well, just give us your thoughts. I mean, we were all watching these scenes unfold throughout Wednesday. Your perspective on it.
You know, it's really a devastating thing to watch. You know, the notion that this nation sets the standard for the world in showing what a peaceful transfer of power is like, you know, came to a crashing halt yesterday. It was not peaceful by any means. And you know, yesterday, you know, I would liken what was supposed to happen yesterday to the trophy ceremony after the national championship game. The game is over. We know who won. And now it's a commemorative moment. And, you know, that commemorative moment was literally ambushed both by members of Congress, you know, who sought to unring the bell of the election, and also by, you know, by a horde that was, you know, catalyzed by everything that Trump has been saying, and not just the last months since the election, but the months leading into the election, when he portrayed the election as fraudulent before it had even happened.
You know, usually watching Senate deliberations on C-SPAN, it can be dull. It can be heavy and dull. But I was really gripped by it last night after the Senate and the House reconvened following the unrest, the insurrection, as it's been called, at the Capitol. And the remarks from both sides of the aisle in the Senate were very interesting. I thought it was curious that Senator Booker from New Jersey, the Democrat, referenced that these folks who stormed the Capitol, they weren't mostly waving American flags, for example. Mm-hmm. They were waving Trump flags. And I'm wondering, what's the lingering impact expected to be here? Because these are folks who are loyal to one person, one character, one personality, rather than a political party or maybe even a country.
You know, I think that's right. And the images that you saw, the flags that they brought with them were Trump flags, and they were Confederate flags. These were not people who, even in their own delusions, were standing up for their vision of America. They were standing up for their own personal preferences. And you know, it's really a fascinating thing, because when Trump launched his presidential campaign, you know, you saw a lot of disquiet and a lot of Republican leaders, you know, who, you know, anticipated that this would fade away and that they could, you know, they could all coalesce around a more traditional candidate. And then as his campaign continued and he didn't fade away, you know, one by one, almost everyone in the party made peace with this and pledged their loyalty. And you know, one of the things that's really fascinating, you know, it's easy to say, well, this is one person, it's not the party. But think about anybody who voiced opposition to Trump in the Republican Congress is no longer a Republican. You know, they were either primaried out of the party or they resigned from the party. The pushback that one would have expected, the differentiation isn't there. And now there are a few voices, and certainly Mitt Romney has been probably the most prominent and you know, most consistent voice of warning in the last few weeks about just what's going on and the need to respect the election. But the difficulty, the leap that would take for Mitt Romney and those who don't support Trump at this point to recast the Republican Party when, you know, really what we saw yesterday and in recent weeks is, if anything, there's a competition to out-Trump Trump. I mean, this isn't about reclaiming the Republican Party. It's about, you know, it's about trying to capitalize on what the party is today.
It's going to be interesting to see. Donald Trump is leaving office in less than 2 weeks, but what will Trumpism mean? And what will the lingering impacts of that be? We want to hear from you while you're listening. We've got a little bit of time to take some comments. 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We got a call from Matt who says he's deeply heartbroken for the country. His granddad served in World War II, and he says we can't have these divisions tear apart the country. An email from Jim who's listening says, quote, "This is not something new. White supremacy is the norm in the United States, and when it is challenged, it has always responded violently." We can go to the phone lines now where we find Tom. Hi, Tom. What's your question or comment?
Thanks. And thanks for, as always, a great show. And I thought the interview with Representative Ryan was wonderful.
Thank you, Tom.
I appreciated his anger, which I know a lot of us feel. But I know, like a lot of people locally, I was shocked to wake up this morning after staying up late, watching the comments, watching Congress resume its deliberations, to see that Congressman Shabbat joined with 137 other House members and kept the lunacy going by voting to try to question Pennsylvania's electoral votes. And, you know, I know by this point we all know he has no facts about Pennsylvania any more than any of the rest of the senators who've gotten more press had about the other states, but it's just an amazing, again, I won't say disappointment because I don't agree with Representative Shabbat a lot, but I've always thought he was a little more decent than to buy into this lunacy. And I think without the gerrymandered district that keeps putting him in, that, you know, intentionally divides Cincinnati's black community, divides the city in half, divides the county in half, we wouldn't have people like him in Congress right now. And I hope he'll join the president and, you know, other members of the administration in Congress in resigning as soon as possible. So thank you.
Tom, thank you for listening and thank you for taking the time to call in. Again, the number is 513-419-7100. We're joined by University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, Dr. David Niven. David, as for our local congressional delegation, there was, I guess, a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of their response. It is dominated by Republicans, of course, and on all three sides of the river, I suppose, Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio's congressional delegation in our listening area, all Republicans. Do you expect there to be any lingering political consequences, if there should be? And if so, what could they be?
Well, you know, Tom was right, certainly, that it's interesting to see somebody like Steve Shabbat cast that vote, essentially symbolically casting his lot with those who would say, enough of this democracy stuff. Let's just pick who we want to be president. You know, I think, and what's particularly notable about that Shabbat vote is it took place after the storming of the building. You know, there were several members who, you know, at some point, while, you know, they feared for the you know, future of democracy, pulled back. Even the defeated senator from Georgia, Kelly Loeffler, pulled back on supporting this effort to overturn the Electoral College. Shabbat cast this vote after the storming of the building, after, you know, he saw literally firsthand what was happening. What's the consequence? You know, I think a lot of members cast very symbolic votes to be able to say that they stood with Trump so that, you know, in some future, you know, whether it's a primary challenge or some future political moment, they'll be able to do this. And you know, it's frightening to imagine because none have really suggested they believe these allegations, or even that they believe what they were doing was a proper part of the Constitution. It was really, you know, a moment to seize and say that democracy has proven inconvenient for me right this moment, so I'm going to go the other way. Warren Davidson from Butler County was a more active proponent of this notion. You know, I think several other members just kind of went along for the ride. But obviously, the majority of members, certainly majority of Republican members from Ohio, did not vote to undo the Electoral College.
Let's go back to the phones now where we find Joy. Hi, Joy. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I'll try to be brief and keep it direct. My point, I don't, you know, everyone's pontificating about all these things and how could it happen and this or that. What I want to see is the vigorous tracking down of the people who stormed the Capitol, particularly the people who were violent and got into the chambers. I want vigorous going after, prosecuting, and blanket. And where's the lady who died, for example? Where is her ticket, her weed ticket from 20 years ago and her mugshot? It's not about demonizing her particularly, but these are the things that are consistent when regular poor and black people have protested, and the rage that people feel about the tearing up of property. I'm sorry. So that's what I would say. I want to hear the tough talk and the going after of people and being held accountable. Thank you very much.
Joy, thank you for listening, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. Let's go to Jackie now. Hi, Jackie. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, hey, my comment is I was really surprised that people were surprised about the violence. I mean, these are the same people who stormed the Michigan legislature. These are the same people who were there in Charlottesville. So the fact that they seemed unprepared for them to act in what they consider their normal mode, which is violence and disruptive, was really disconcerting to me. I think they should have been prepared because these folks have a history. You don't even have to go back to the whole history of the white nationalist, white supremacist. We just have to look at the last few months, what they've done when they said they were going to do it. And when they've got, you know, their guy rallying them up, what else can we expect? That's my comment.
Jackie, thank you so much for listening and calling in to share your thoughts. We'll go now to Bob. Hi, Bob. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Bob. I really like your program.
Thank you.
My comment is we're talking about the Senate. I want to know about what happened to the House of Representatives. For example, Brad Winstrom signed on to the Texas Attorney General lawsuit to eliminate the elections in five states. Cincinnati Brad Winstrom signs on to a Texas lawsuit, Texas, and to throw out the, and has he been listening to the lies of Donald Trump? And then we find out that in the House, because Winstrom got so much pushback on that, in the House last night, Shabbat and Davidson voted to obstruct the vote so that those election numbers would not be accepted. These are our local representatives. And this isn't the first time Winstrom has signed on with Texas Ted Cruz had petitioned to close down the government. Brad Winstrom signed on. This stuff with our local, these are our local guys. You know where Shabbat lives. You know where Brad Winstrom lives. You know where Portman lives. These are local guys. You know where Lett Davis lives. Everybody, they're part of our community. And they are actually stabbing us in the back. When you look at what they're doing to our democracy, why?
Bob, we appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. Thank you so much for listening. And we have time for one more. I've got Michael on the line. Hi, Michael. What's your question or comment?
It's a question. Would Mr. Trump have the power to pardon all these people that he loved that crashed and abused our system with the Capitol and everything?
Michael, I'll allow our political science professor to take a chance on that answer. So I'm going to hang up and turn it back over to UC Associate Professor of Political Science, Dr. David Niven. That was a question about pardon power. I assume that it's pretty broad and sweeping for a president.
You know, in this case, because it was a federal building and these would be federal investigations, the short answer is yes. Trump could pardon everyone for each of those actions. And it would be unrevocable. I mean, but the one thing that may get in his way is the organizational capacity to identify these folks and issue those pardons in the time that's remaining. So it may not be a question of want to. I'm sure Trump would like to do that, but he may run out of time before he can get the paperwork signed.
Well, before we let you run, Dr. Niven, I'm seeing some early calls for the 25th Amendment to be invoked. That would involve the the cabinet secretaries and the vice president deciding that President Trump should be removed from office. We saw some reports from sources inside the administration or inside the Republican Party suggesting that the president has lost his mind. Those were mainstream news outlets reporting that comment. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, certainly the reports are that there are people within the administration who believe the 25th Amendment should be invoked. We've seen several Republican members of Congress say that the 25th Amendment could be invoked. And there's actually two paths to invoking it. One involves the cabinet and the vice president. The other involves the vice president and the Congress could designate any group of people, including, you know, they could designate congressional leaders to meet with the vice president and declare the president unfit for office. I think while it's so extraordinary and beyond our normal imagination, I mean, I think history suggests there were moments, you know, particularly in the waning days of the Nixon administration, for example, where in hindsight, the 25th Amendment should have been invoked. And as members of the administration resign in protest over the behavior of the president, you know, it gets us closer and closer to having to have this conversation, even as we're talking about 13 days remaining in the term.
University of Cincinnati Associate Professor of Political Science, David Niven. David, always a pleasure to have you. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, well, it's good to be with you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.